We're going to have our Old Testament reading now, and according to Wayne, Terry's going to come and do it.
It's reading from Jeremiah chapter 31 from verse 24. And Judah and all its cities shall dwell there together, and the farmers and those who wander with their flocks. For I will satisfy the weary soul, and every languishing soul I will replenish. At this I awoke and looked, and my sleep was pleasant to me. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that as I have watched over them to pluck up and to break down, to overthrow, to destroy, and to bring harm, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, declares the Lord. In those days they shall no longer say, the fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. But everyone shall die for his own sin. And each man who eats sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbour and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive them their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. This is the word of the Lord.
You want to read our New Testament lesson for us?
Our New Testament reading this morning is from Paul's first letter to the church at Thessalonica, chapter 4, verses 1 to 12, those using the Pew Bibles, page 987. Paul writes, Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honour, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. This is the word of God.
Well, as you might have picked up, as I keep saying, every time I come down, we'll keep working through 1 Thessalonians and probably move into 2 Thessalonians after that. So at least I know where I'm going when I'm coming down here to preach, and you get some continuity as to what we're covering. Rather than me just sitting, oh, I might do this time or that time. That only confuses me, so don't worry about that. We're going to look at this passage again today, but as we do, let's just bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we come to open your word this day. Thank you for us being able to hear it read to us. But as you speak to us through your word, just empower us. Empower us through your Holy Spirit, that as we, as your beloved children, can give you the glory in all that we do. And we just pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you might have noticed there's a few white flowers hanging around, and you've got ones on there. And it's Mother's Day. But I'm going to pick on mothers. Yeah. Or grandmothers, because they're just as guilty. Let me think about it. You're growing up, and as a child, or you might have noticed it with your grandchildren, Mum or Grandma will ask you to do something, and they'll say, look, when you've done that, you can have some afternoon tea. You know that story? Yeah. Got to do the washing up or take the rubbish, do something anyway. And so this is it. You do this and you can have afternoon tea. Have you ever noticed that when you finish doing what you get asked to do, there's no afternoon tea? You get asked to do something else, don't you? Oh, well, while you're doing that, can you do this for me? Now, we're lovely and obedient children. Same with our grand. Yes, Mum, yes, Grandma, whatever you want. And what do? We rumble away, grumble. She changed her mind again. It happens, doesn't it? Fathers never do anything like that, do we? It's always the mothers or the grandmothers. Think about it. We get frustrated because every now and then we get asked to do something and the goalposts get moved. Or we get delayed a little bit further down there. Now you've got to do something else. Well, this passage that we're going to look at today, this is what it sounds like. Here is Paul talking to the church at Thessalonica, and it seems that he is saying, no, look, you've been doing this, but now you've got to do a bit some more. Look into it. We see in the beginning of chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, listen to what it says. Finally, my then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. Hang on. Here they are, this young church, they're pleasing God. Even Paul notices it. Just as you're doing. Oh, do it more and more. Come on, keep doing it. More and more, more and more. And that's again over in verse 10, if you've got your Bibles open. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. This is showing them love. But, there's always a but. But, we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more and to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs, etc. More and more. Hang on, God. We're your children. We're following the path that you want us to live. We're striving to be your faithful children. And now you want us to do more? Hang on. This can't be right. He's urging them to show love. He's urging them in their daily walk as believers to show more and more of their daily walk, of their being children of the living God. And that's what it's all about. That's what God requires of us. It's not an extra burden, but it is what he wants of each one of us as we strive with all the power and the strength that God gives us to live lives worthy of being his children. Each one of us, as God's children, remember it, we are a work in progress. We are a work in progress. God is always working on us, honing off the rough edges, helping us each and every day to resist the temptations of the evil one, helping us to give him all the glory and the praise and the adoration, to show love and care and compassion to others, to be holy as he is holy. So we are a work in progress. It's what Paul talks about in verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, your cleansing, your building up, your cleaning up, your strengthening, your empowering, as the Holy Spirit helps you, helps me, to show very clearly that we are the children of God. Because what does he go on to say there in verse 7? Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. We've been singing these hymns this morning. Holy Spirit, help us. Breathe into the things we do. He's called us not to impurity, but to holiness. The holy life is a sanctified life. Always, each one of us striving more and more and more to be holy as God himself is holy. We can't do it in our own strength. You can't. We need God's help, and that's why he gives the Holy Spirit to us. We are Spirit-filled Christians, and that is the power that lives within us. Listen to what Peter says in his first letter, 1 Peter 1, 14 to 16. Find it here, something. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. For since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And the only way any of us can be holy is with the Holy Spirit working within us, cleaning up all the dirt, all the rubbish, all the sin, helping us more to live more and more Christ-like in everything we do, everything we say, everything we think. This is what Paul is on about. The goalposts haven't been moved. It seems that way. You're not listening to God. We're not listening to God. The challenge is there. Let the Holy Spirit work in our lives. Let the Holy Spirit clean up the mess of sin that's been forgiven, but we still are not perfect. We are a work in progress. We are not perfect. That's in spite of what grandmas tell their grandchildren. We are not perfect. We need God to continue to work his work in our lives, to bring us to that standard that he wants, more than wants, he requires, demands of every believer. This is part of that work, a big word, sanctification. It's cleaning up, the ongoing transformation of believers, of you and me, to make us more and more each day like Christ. It is the Holy Spirit given to us by God who does the work, who cleans us, who guides us, who protects us. It's not easy to listen to the Holy Spirit. We always want to do our own thing, don't we? I can do this. I don't have to listen to anybody's guidance. That shows we're not listening. We want to do our own thing. But we need to remember and turn back and listen to God. That's why Paul is focusing upon the lives of these people, to help them live, to live for God. Look at our own lives. Each day, listen. Listen to the Holy Spirit as your guide, as your counselor, for that life lived for the glory of God. It might be the Holy Spirit speaking to you, but it might mean you open up the scriptures and read it. Just take some advice. When you want to find out what God's saying to you, and you figure, yeah, I'm going to open my Bible, but I don't know where to look. So I'm just going to get my Bible, and I'm just going to let it fall open anywhere at once, and that must be God speaking to me. And you focus on a verse, and it don't make sense. You know why? Because that's not what God does. God speaks to you as you read his word diligently and faithfully. There's a good example of it. You can open up your Bible in the Psalms, and it's a verse that people throw at you when you're trying to tell them about God. You can open it up in the Psalms, and you'll find it says in there, there is no God. And people will say to you, but the Bible says that there is no God. Look, it's fallen open. There it is. There is no God. Read it. And you will find that it doesn't say that. It says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Now, don't let people just grab a few words and try and convince you that that's God speaking. Look at it in context. Read the scriptures. Spend time in prayer before your God. And trust him. Let him, through his Holy Spirit, guide each one of us as he protects us. Now, some people, when they look at this passage, they get a bit picky. And they say, oh, but no, it's all right. We don't have to worry. Because this passage, Paul focuses on one sin, sexual immorality. He doesn't mention anything else, so that's all he's caring about. That's all he's talking about. That's all he's got to worry about. But that's not what he's talking about. He was focusing on this one there in verse 3 because that was the problem in that society and in a lot of the Greek culture, sexual immorality. He needed to draw their attention back and away from sin. But don't get caught up in just focusing on big sins and saying, well, I don't do that, so I'm all right. Because every sin is equal in the eyes of God, isn't it? We tend to focus on the big ones. Don't get caught up in the standards of a sinful world. Focus more on the standards of God. So are you listening to the Holy Spirit? Are you striving more and more to be Christ-like? To be holy as God is holy? Holy and honourable in our own personal life is the standard demanded by God. But we can't do it in our own strength. And he knows it. That's why he says, well, here's the helper. What did Jesus call him? The wonderful counselor. The one who would speak after Jesus had gone. The Holy Spirit will lead you upon that path of daily life, giving all the glory and the praise to God. The Holy Spirit helps us to avoid the traps of the evil one. Listen to verses 7 and 8 again. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this, disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. God doesn't move the goalposts. He doesn't change his demands. But he calls upon us as his beloved children to live holy and godly lives. We are a work in progress. Let the Holy Spirit help you. Don't fight it. Because the Holy Spirit is the power of God, and no one will win fighting against the power of God. We are his beloved children. We are all that work in progress as God, through his Holy Spirit, is making us more and more Christ-like each and every day. So don't be put off by this feeling that we're never going to be good enough. We never will be, unless God works in us. We're on a journey. We're on a journey home to glory and to complete perfection. God is working on us through the Holy Spirit, cleansing you, guiding you, protecting you, building you up, not knocking you down. We need to grab hold of that promise. Hang on for the journey. Might get a bit rough at times, but the ultimate is the heavenly home. Remember what Paul said in his letter to the Philippians. And I'm sure of this. This is what he said. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. That is his promise to all of us. That day you were converted, the day you became one of God's children as you repented and believed, that's when construction began. You, myself, we're all a work in progress. But we have this beautiful promise of our God. He has begun that work when he called you into his kingdom. And he will complete it. Each and every one of us. Completion when he makes us perfect, when he opens the doors of glory to let us in. You'll note in this passage that Paul, from verse 9, looks and focuses on brotherly love and the need to show it in our lives. What is, again, driving home here, even here, is that our lives, yours and mine, need to show that God is at work in us. Show us, show other people the Holy Spirit at work in your life. How? How do you react when things confront you? Do you react in anger? Or do you react in a loving and caring way? Let God get angry. He knows what he's doing. We need to react with that love and care. Trusting. Trusting in our Heavenly Father. Why? Remember that passage in Galatians? It talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, a lot of Christians can rattle them all off. I keep trying, but I forget ones here and there and things like that. I always remember the main one, though. Love. That's where it starts. That's the first fruit of the Spirit. The key to spiritual life. Let us live our lives to please God. Not easy, but God is working in us, each one of you, each one of us, through his Holy Spirit. Think about it. God has laid out plans for your life. He is the owner builder. And he is determined and definitely will complete the work that he has started in you. No matter how long it takes. The sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit happens in each one of us, each and every day. And we can praise our wonderful God because he is doing it. And with his strength through the Holy Spirit, we will do it more and more and more. Not as a burden, not expecting some bribery out of it, but because of his awesome love. He cares for us, but he protects us and guides us, but he calls on us to live holy, godly lives. As we wait for the Lord's return, enjoy the journey. He doesn't say it's going to be easy, but enjoy the journey. We might not be comfortable at times, but it is for his purpose. As he makes us, you and me and all of his children, more and more Christ-like each and every day. And we will excel more and more. Do you trust him enough? Do you trust him enough to let him do this in your life? Fighting it, you won't win. So we just need, in humble submission, say, yes, Lord, do what you want. And help me and change me, strengthen me, and protect me as each one of us strives more and more to give God all the glory in our daily lives. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Let's pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we know that you call upon us to love you more and more, to live our lives for your glory more and more each day. Our walk is not easy, and we have been taught to walk with our eyes fixed on King Jesus to please you. We are doing it, but you demand so much more. So help us, we pray. Help us through your Holy Spirit, sanctifying us, cleansing us, guiding us, protecting us, even rebuking where needed. Heavenly Father, help us each and every day through your Holy Spirit to do things more and more for your glory. Inspire us, guide us, and protect us that as your children, yours is the glory, the great things you have done and you continue to do, even in our lives as your children. So help us, we pray. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to conclude our worship. We're going to sing the last hymn today. Take time to be holy.